All right, good afternoon. This is Senator Kennedy and Kelly Finance.
On the agenda today, which we'll hear from various couple of authors, I guess we have. So Senator Kiffmeyer, would you want to come forward and introduce and tell us about Senate File 2185? Welcome to the committee and proceed as you are ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Glad to be with you today in regards to Senate File 2185. And this has to do with not allowing local municipalities to ban the hookups for propane or natural gas. So this is an issue that has been cropping up around the country where they call it the electrification of the buildings. A number of states, California is on its 50th building electrification mandate. There are a number of other states as well that are doing this, that are overreaching and denying consumer choice in the fuel of their choice. And so we have Washington and California in particular leading the charge to do that. But in addition, we have other states as well. The Pacific Northwest and Oregon, November 17th resolutions that in Eugene, City Council directed the city manager to convene work sessions to begin considering an ordinance to require all electric new building construction beginning in 2023. Mayor of Milwaukee, Oregon, said his city would follow suit, and Salem, Oregon. In Washington County, King County, Executive Dow Constantine included restrictions on gas as part of a building code update. And so this is an issue that is beginning to show itself, including in New York as well. It's interesting that we have these things happening. But at the other hand, the bill that I have before you today, there are approximately 28 states that have passed legislation, such as Senate File 2185, that would prohibit local municipalities from banning natural gas or propane. So, Mr. Chair and members, I do have a testifier today. The bill itself is as short and straightforward as it is in front of you, but I do have a testifier that can speak to this issue as well.
Good. Thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer. Any questions of the author before we start with testimony? Questions? If not, please come forward, Mr. Wagner.
Good afternoon. I'm Dave Wager, the executive director of the Minnesota Propane Association. And on behalf of the members of the Minnesota Propane Association, we support Senate File 2185, and we strongly recommend its passage by the Senate Energy and Utilities Finance and Policy Committee. Senate File 2185 would prevent local units of government from denying consumer choice when owners are deciding the most appropriate fuel for their buildings. This bill will keep government from choosing winners and losers in the free market. In addition to the unfairness and counterproductiveness of these mandates, they're also unwise. If you count all the carbon emissions related to use of propane and grid electricity, the comparison will show that propane is much cleaner. This will remain true for a long time. Please consider the following. Propane's low carbon intensity is why it is an approved clean alternative fuel under the U.S. Clean Air Act. The Energy Star program gives propane a site ratio of 1.01 compared to 2.8 for grid electricity. This means propane is almost three times more efficient than grid electricity. Propane produces 43% fewer greenhouse gas emissions than using the equivalent amount of electricity generated from the U.S. grid. Propane prevents deforestation by replacing solid fuels such as wood and coal. Propane is electric grid free, making a valuable partner energy source for solar and wind when the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow. The flexible form of propane storage makes it easy to install in any environment without disrupting sensitive habitat. Our propane storage system can last 40 plus years. It's made from 85% recycled steel today, and 100%, or it is 100% recycled after its service life. Nothing goes to waste. Propane fuel technologies produce fewer nitrogen oxide and sulfur oxide emissions than technologies fueled by electricity, gasoline, and diesel. Propane fuel residential furnaces emit up to 50% less nitrous oxide emissions and 82% fewer sulfur oxide emissions than electric furnaces. This past February, Winter Storm Uri, based on our historical records, an estimated 4.7 million gallons of propane was used to back up natural gas and electricity. That's the equivalent of heating approximately 6,300 homes in Minnesota for a year. Propane, in our opinion, needs to be part of our energy mix as a clean energy and the path to zero emissions. It can be stored indefinitely, is readily accessible, easily transported, and again, is independent from the grid. Our concern is that the grid and electric companies aren't ready for full electrification and probably won't be for a generation. The practical direction is to adopt proven technology that delivers reduced CO2 emissions today while we increase renewable energy sources and build the grid of the future. Electrification is often touted as the only solution to full decarbonization, and it overlooks how electricity is generated, stored, transmitted, and consumed. A single energy mandate isn't sufficient or realistic, and the truth is propane and renewable propane can lead to immediate decarbonization of this sector. When you consider how electricity is generated and its total carbon footprint, propane offers a cleaner alternative than most other options. In 2020, nuclear accounted for 26.5% of electrical production in Minnesota. Natural gas is 19.6. Coal is 25.1, and it's been going up. Petroleum is only 0.1%. Hydrogen is 1.9%. All other renewables, including wind, biomass, solar, and everything, are 26.1. That's what they're doing. It makes little to no sense to place more demand on our electric grid that poses significantly greater cybersecurity risk than other energy sources. And to build the electric grid will cost trillions of dollars to increase its capacity sufficient to meet the demand that is desired just for the transportation market. We rely on the grid. I love electricity. I wouldn't want to live without it. It powers our homes, but it also takes care of our GPS, our healthcare, our communications, our traffic lights, our water, our wastewater treatment. We can't leave our critical infrastructure, our health, our lives to one source of energy, realistically, even to just a few. Natural gas, and I'm not picking on natural gas, but natural gas produces 117 pounds of CO2 per million BTUs of energy. By comparison, propane produces 139 pounds of CO2 per million BTUs of energy. Very similar. Propane doesn't have methane in it. It's probably as big as advantage over natural gas. But again, I'm not picking on natural gas. But when propane is, it's non-toxic. If it gets released to the atmosphere, it will not contaminate land, water, anything. It's not listed as a pollutant. Policymakers need to consider how much waste occurs when we draw electricity from a grid. The more accurate, environmentally conscious full fuel cycle or source view of energy consumption takes these losses into consideration instead of only tracking how much energy is consumed at the point of use. Now, I told you just a little bit ago that natural gas produces 117 pounds of CO2 per million BTUs of energy. When you use natural gas, like I mentioned earlier, to make electricity, it takes 2.8 units of natural gas to make one usable unit of electricity delivered to a home. That equals over 327 pounds of CO2 emitted for that one unit of electricity. Direct use of propane at the home only produces 139 pounds of CO2 to do the same job. Less than half the emissions are emitted by using propane in a home versus electricity produced by natural gas. And now in natural gas defense, that also holds true that we should be promoting use of natural gas directly in the home instead of using it to produce electricity. What about carbon intensity? It seems to be kind of the benchmark that people talk about today to measure energy sources. Today in Minnesota, propane's carbon intensity is only 80. Electricity, including all electricity, solar, wind, and everything on the grid today in Minnesota is 136. Again, propane is in a better position to help lower our emissions profile. I mentioned renewable propane. Renewable propane is real. It's in our country. It's available today. They can make biodiesel. They can make ethanol. They can make sustainable aviation fuel. They make renewable propane the same way, out of waste products, oils, things like that. It's drop-in ready. It goes in the same tanks. It's consumed. You don't have to buy new appliances. You don't have to buy new furnaces. You don't have to buy new vehicles. You don't have to rebuild or expand infrastructure. It will lower emissions today. Everything is there. If we ban the use of propane, we will block a renewable path to a low carbon future. Because of these facts, propane remains the only truly commercially viable clean alternative energy. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Wagner. Any questions of Mr. Wagner? I'm sorry, Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Mr. Wager, and thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer, for bringing the bill forward. First, a compliment, Mr. Wager. The way you're talking about carbon reduction, the way you're pointing out the positives of propane, thank you. This committee is looking at climate change and looking at carbon reduction, and anybody who comes before this committee and has the grasp of the information like you do, that's a plus. Some other time, we'll talk about how much carbon reduction we need, what's our goal for the state and how propane can do its share. Since I'm not smart enough to reach those conclusions, I'm just gonna pose that question for us and go forward. I do wanna say that in the same way, we don't always like the federal government telling the state of Minnesota what it can and cannot do. I have concerns about the state of Minnesota telling individual cities what they can and cannot do. You and I talked before the hearing. The agriculture in my area depends on propane in many ways, and you can count on me to be listening to them as we go forward with the bill. I did have one question for Senator Kiffmeyer, Mr. Chair, if that's okay.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Senator, thanks again for bringing the bill forward and for being part of our never-ending discussion. I had a procedural question. It looks to me like this bill proposes to affect Chapter 326, and if I'm not mistaken, isn't the jurisdiction for that chapter required to have this bill go to state government?
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chair, this is the first stop, and it may go to state gov, and if it does, that'd be fine. Also could have a stop in local government, but I usually yield to the staff who make those determinations and review chapters of law and a variety of things.
To our Senate Council.
Mr. Chair, members, and Senator Kiffmeyer, and Senator Friends, I just wanted to point out that that chapter of law was 326, or was that is an incorrect chapter. It shouldn't be under that chapter. So I'm going to work with Joan White in local government to figure out the correct chapter. I believe we're looking at chapter 456, or was it 465? I might have had that transposed. And to see if that's the correct place for it to be. And I think that they could make that change to find the right coding for that in local government.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Friends, I would say, Senator Friends, the intent here today is to, if the votes are here, so to speak, that we move this to local government.
I sense that, Mr. Chair. First, thanks, Ms. Doyle-Fontaine. See, this committee making stuff better as we go. Thank you very much, Mr. Wager. Thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else on Senate File 2185? Senator Kiffmeyer, just a question and sort of a clarification. I think we all know the answer to this, but the intent of this bill is not to preclude any homeowner from exercising or using any kind of electricity or any kind of gaseous or form of heating that they want. Is that right?
That's correct, Mr. Chair. This does not affect residential. This is, as the bill states in the very beginning, this has to do with a political subdivision is prohibited from adopting any vehicle that they would want to do to prohibit using gas or propane hookups or to supply it. So that's a fundamental thing right here. What we're actually doing with this bill is preserving all those options. We're saying you can't stop these two specific ones. And by saying you can't prohibit them, it means that all variations of fuel options would be available to the political subdivisions.
Thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer, and to all entities within it, be it residential, commercial, et cetera. Senator Matthews.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to respond, Senator Frenz, you bring up a good point on there is often tension among members when the federal government comes in with regulations on the states and so forth, and why would we do it here on the cities and so forth. And the same argument can also be made on the cities putting this requirement and banning individuals from making a choice that they want to make in what's the most affordable or what's the most effective way they want their power, their heat, their systems in their house. So there's a philosophical question for another day of who has the last say in that, but the same question on federal government to states is also an applicable question here on individuals from local units of government. And I support this bill. I think we should, in this particular case, leave the option up to the consumer and the individual. And thanks, Senator Kiffmeyer, for bringing it forward.
Senator Newton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Kiffmeyer, thank you for bringing this forward. I know you're a strong proponent of local control. And we have not heard from the League of Cities. And given that they haven't put up any opposition so far, they may when it goes to state gov or local gov. But I will be supporting the bill, given that there doesn't seem to be that opposition that we would normally expect from the League of Cities.
Okay, anybody else? Senator File 2185.
Mr. Chair.
The preferred recommendation would be, I'm sorry, Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to respond to that. We have building codes. Statewide, we have a number of things. I think preserving options is what's really important. The other thing I just wanted to clarify, there was a letter before you, and I thought, especially for this committee, I just wanted to clarify, there was mention of methane leaks and these kinds of things. And in my discussions with folks, leaks are an equipment issue, not a fuel issue. As we all know, we all have all kinds of propane and natural gas, a few going around. If there's a leak, that's an equipment issue. And but propane has no methane, natural gas does. But the big thing is that has to do with equipment, and that's true with electrical. We have electric fires, all kinds of things. Equipment always must be maintained and kept in good working order, no matter the energy source.
Good, thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer. Any concluding comments, or would what you just said be those?
That is basically it, Mr. Chair, and I would appreciate your vote of support. Thank you.
Okay. Given that, Senate File 2185 is before us. The recommendation would be that be recommended to pass and referred to local government. Would somebody so move? Senator Matthews so moves. Any discussion on that? Senator Frenz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you again, Senator Kiffmeyer. I'll be a no vote on this motion, and I would just point out to the committee, if we were proposing to ban solar, I hope that we would agree that different energy forms all have their proponents and all have their detractors, and so I think we should treat them all the same. That's not my local government argument, just throwing that out there. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Utke, were you going to say something?
No.
Oh, I thought I saw you reaching for that.
Getting ready to vote.
Okay. If not, sensing no other discussion, all in favor of the motion to move Senate File 2185 with an approval notation to the local government committee, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. And it is so done. Thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Okay, Senator Housley is before us with a couple of bills. Welcome, Senator Housley. Get comfortable.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We'll see how long this takes. Probably not that long. So, Senator Housley, Senate File 2416, having to do with electrical vehicle charging stations at county government centers. Please present your bill as you wish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members, for the opportunity to hear Senate File 2416. It is for the program to install electric vehicle charging stations at county government centers. I had this bill even before gas prices went sky high. So it was a good idea a year ago, and it's an even better idea now that there is such a huge demand for electric vehicles. What the bill does, it would have the Commissioner of Commerce develop a network of electric vehicle charging stations and put out a request for proposal with technical specifications that the electric vehicle charging stations are required to meet. One of them would be the number and the location of the charging stations installed at each county government center, and alternative arrangements that may be made to allocate responsibility for electrical vehicle charging stations, such as ownership, operation, maintenance, and billing procedures. And also in section two of the bill, it would appropriate $4.1 million in 2022 to the Commissioner of Natural Resources to install the electric vehicle charging stations in parking centers at county government centers, parking facilities. And that is it, Mr. Chair. Very short, simple.
Thank you, Senator Housley. Just one question, and if you don't have this, we can get this later, but any idea how many level two chargers $4.1 million will buy?
A lot.
A lot.
All right. No, Mr. Chair, probably not enough. I actually will say that because now a year ago I was a family of gas cars, and now we've had two electric cars just in the last year. So I think the demand is increasing, but I don't know how much $4.1 million we'll get, but I can find out.
Okay, members, any questions? Senator Frantz.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Housley. It's nice to see a bill come forward that talks about electric vehicles, and to find out that $4.1 million on RDA would be a lot. I am very pleased to support this bill, and I want to thank you not only for the advocacy, but for the personal example. We're talking a lot about electric vehicles, and as I've said in this committee many times, Ford, General Motors, Chrysler say soon that's all they'll be selling. So Minnesota being prepared, it's going to be a total winning proposition. I'll be a yes vote on it. Bill. Thank you, Senator Housley.
Senator Matthews.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple questions on the bill. Obviously, I have no personal qualms on electric vehicles. There's some questions that need to get ironed out as they're going to get more and more prevalent in our communities, especially about charging. You know, today we pull up to a gas station and we stick in our own credit card and pay the ever-increasing number on the gas pump there. And that's not been the case with these EV charging stations to this point. That's a question we'll have to get addressed down the road. But I have one question I'd like to ask Senator Housley. In reading the language of this bill, this reads to me like the Commissioner of Commerce can essentially force counties to take and build out this infrastructure at their facilities. And I'm wondering if there is an option in the language or if there's an intent to basically let a local jurisdiction have a say in the matter or weigh in. Obviously, I don't think this would be much of a problem in Hennepin County, Ramsey County, but I'm thinking about our smaller counties out in rural Minnesota. And I see several times where it says the commissioner must. But I'm wondering if local counties have a say in the matter.
Senator Housley,
Mr. Chair, Senator Matthews, we can talk about that offline. I understand what you're saying, but I also want to, on the flip side, say they're going to need them, because when you can only go 200 miles out of Hennepin County, you're going to need some charging stations outside of Hennepin County. But I understand what you're saying, and to force them if they don't want to, that should be their option. So we can talk about that.
Okay. Further questions, Senator Matthews?
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, would this be any cost to the counties, or is the RDA intending to fill 100% of the costs on these counties?
Mr. Chair, Senator Matthews, it's our intent that the $4.1 million will cover the cost for the county, so it won't be an additional cost to the counties.
Senator Matthews, anybody else? Anybody else on the bill? Senator Newton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for bringing this forward. This is a good bill. I just wonder if you would talk with the Department of Commerce just to make sure that we're able to leverage this money against some of the funding that the Biden administration is putting forward in order to increase it to get to that high number that you're looking for, Senator Housley.
Senator Housley. So
thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Newton. I agree. I think they gave us $68 million over 5 years for electric vehicle charging stations. So I will check with the Department of Commerce and see how we can leverage it.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody in the audience wish to speak to this? Yes, please come forward.
Hi, Chair and members. This is, for the record, my name is John Kelly. I'm the Director of Government Affairs for the Department of Commerce. While this is not a department bill, I just wanted to clarify a couple of questions that were asked. This program is not having the department direct counties to do this. We would be administering a grant program. They would apply for, through an RFP, they would apply for a grant. And the fiscal note that was done on the House file for this bill, it would work out to 70 to 100 sites with about $50,000 per grant is the estimate. And it's a one-year program, I believe. So I think this is meant to be in conjunction and in addition, and this was before the IAJA was passed with the money, but the Commissioner of Commerce is not forcing any counties to apply for an RFP program if they don't want to. Just want to clarify that for the record.
So Mr. Kelly, just to maybe say what you just said. So you will develop the program, you will put out the request for proposals, but obviously you won't force any jurisdiction of any sort to make an application, right?
Yes, the way the language is drafted, Chair, thank you for the question. The commissioner would issue an RFP to entities that have the experience in installing, owning, and operating the electric vehicle charging stations, and they can apply, and we would grant out the funds. But we're not forcing anybody. If they don't want to apply, they don't have to. Good.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Any questions of Mr. Kelly? I'm seeing none. Anybody else in the audience wants to speak to this? Senate file 2416.
Good afternoon, committee members. My name is Brian Martinson. I'm the Environment and Natural Resources Policy Analyst with the Association of Minnesota Counties. We do like the idea brought forward in this bill. I have reached out to Senator Housley and I'm working on getting some time scheduled with her on her calendar. We do feel that the language is unclear about the county role in this and would like to add some clarity to that and make sure that counties do have a role and can more actively participate in the decisions being made in placing EV installations on their property. So we look forward to working with the author and believe that this is a good proposal with some clarifying language.
Thank you very much. And Senator Housley, just looking through the document, through your bill, what I would just, it's a clarity issue, I think, whether or not these chargers would be located in the basement police garage or whether they'd be publicly available. I mean, I think the intent if we're using RDA money is somehow they would be publicly available, but I don't know if that was your intent within the bill or not.
Mr. Chair, that was my intent to have them be publicly available.
And maybe as we would then work on this bill, we could maybe clarify that one. Any other questions of Senator Housley or anybody else? Is there anyone else in the audience who wants to speak to 24, Senate File 2416? If not, thank you. And the chair would then move that Senate File 2416 be referred for consideration in an omnibus bill laid over for possible consideration in an omnibus energy bill going forward. Thank you, Senator Housley. And now we may move to Senate File 2156, having to do with the decommissioning of a certain coal-fired power plant. Senator Housley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 2156 is a bill to assist my constituents and one of the cities in my district understand and prepare for the closing of the Allen S. King plant located in Oak Park Heights, right down on the St. Croix River. I think we drove by it, Senator Senjum. The plant was originally scheduled to close in 2040, but now it's looking to close in 2028. So they moved it up 12 years. So it's caused a little bit of anxiety in the community on what to move up this, make it that much quicker. So for purposes of planning, the tax base replacement and community impacts, that date is right around the corner for us. So this bill would simply require the utility to provide their plan to decommission and demolish the facility and remediation information by December 31st, 2025. It ensures the transparency for all and the ability for the city to plan for the community. I'm proud that the city of Oak Park Heights and XL have an excellent relationship and they do work cooperatively for our residents, and I know that they will continue to do so. I do have the mayor of Oak Park Heights, Mayor Mary McCumber, if she could be, I think she's on Zoom, Mr. Chair.
Good. Thank you so much. The Mayor McCumber, there you are. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself. Proceed as you're ready.
Well, good afternoon. And my name is Mary McCumber. I'm the mayor of Oak Park Heights. Thank you, Chair Senjum and committee members and Senator Housley for bringing this forward. And I appreciate your time today. I'd like to talk about Senate File 2156. As Senator Housley just mentioned, the Allen S. King plant, which is located in Oak Park Heights, is due for retirement in 2028. This has been moved up from 2040, which obviously caught our council a little off guard, having to move things up a little faster. And the city's been working very hard over the last year and a half in planning for this closure. The purpose of this bill is for the utility company to communicate their plans for the decommissioning and the timelines for the demolition and the remediation of the site. The bill just sets the timelines for those discussions. I know some of you have previously been here and gone across the St. Croix Crossing across the river, and you were able to see the scale of the King plant. You have some handouts in your materials today, which shows the scope of the entire plant. And in our discussions with XL, the only part that's going to remain after decommissioning, as you can see on page 2, where it shows the primary substation, everything else will be removed. So we want to be informed of what their demolition plans are, the remediation for the coal, where the coal site is, where it shows coal storage. As you can see also that the plant is located on the Wild and Scenic River, the St. Croix, which is designated by the National Park Service. And we want to be respectful of the timelines and be respectful of what goes forward with the future of that plant. So I'd like to thank you for your time today, and thank you especially for Senator Housley. She's been quite a champion for our city and very, very supportive. So I would stand for any questions.
Are there any questions of Mayor McCumber? I just have one. This speaks to, and again, must provide to the extent known the public utilities plan for a detailed timeline, commission and demolish. Is the city's wish that plant be the building itself be demolished? Would there be any consideration by the city of, you know, if the plan looked good to use the framework of that building, if there was any possible beneficial use that might be attractive?
Mr. Chair, the city wants to keep the communication open with Xcel at this point. As some of you know, when the plant was built, it was Northern State Power, and now it's Xcel. So that's why it's in the bill to say the utility company, assumption being that it will be Xcel. At this time, we don't have an idea what the plan is going to be other than the substation staying there. Our city has put together an advisory committee which has come up with suggestions of what could potentially be there in the future. So our plan with this bill is to keep those communications open and to get a plan from them so we can plan for our future as well.
Okay, any questions, Senator Housley or the mayor? Anybody in the audience wish to testify on Senate File 2156? Senator Housley, any concluding comments?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you again for hearing the bill. It is very important to the constituents of Oak Park Heights and actually the whole St. Croix River Valley. As the mayor said, it is on the scenic St. Croix. So to get a plan for that, whether it's the demolition of or decommissioning or whatever the plan is, it is very important to just ease the anxiety so the city council and the residents know what's going to happen going forward. So thank you so much for hearing the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Housley. And let me just, before we started our meeting today, there was a comment about a possible oral amendment. I don't know if we have forgotten that or if you have any.
Not this one.
Not this one. Okay. All right. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Phew.
Sorry to scare you, Senator Housley. Okay, with that then, without any further discussion, unless there is some, Senate File 2156 is laid aside for possible inclusion in a future omnibus energy bill. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Okay, with that, members, the meeting does stand adjourned.